Hey everybody, welcome to episode 3 of Money, Romance, and Greed. I am your host, Lady A, and my co-host is...
DJ!
What's happening, DJ?
What's going on, sister?
I mean, you know, happy Tuesday, right? So
happy Tuesday.
It's early in the week, but, you know, a lot going on.
Man, got to get after it, man. Got a very intriguing story.
So we got a very intriguing story this week, you guys. And I'm telling you, okay, this is like seriously mysterious. And it's almost scary. Like...
Almost. It's downright scary.
It's absolutely scary. I mean, I could not even imagine this happening to anybody I know, let alone myself. Today, we're going to be talking about the Springfield 3. And for anybody who does not know, there are 3 missing women, and this is active, right? Yeah. So there's 3 missing women currently missing from Springfield, Missouri. That's why they're called the Springfield 3.
Let's go ahead and give their names.
So we've got Cheryl Levitt. She's the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Susie Streeter. She is Sherry's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have... her friend Stacy McCall.
Terrible.
Now Stacy McCall is the friend of Cheryl Levitt's daughter, Susie Streeter. All right. And so, you know, one of the things about this story, DJ, and one of the reasons why I wanted to really engage the audience on this is because this happened like 20 years ago.
20 years ago, okay.
It's been
June 7th, 1992.
Right. So it's been a very long time. And so I think that because there is still no information or very little information that is being trickled through the police department, it's really critical that we kind of get this out here in hopes of, again, solving.
Good Lord, Lady A, what happened?
So, you know, I know it's horrific. Well, we don't, again, mystery. Better word, right? Mm-hmm. Mystery, because we really don't know what happened. So let's go ahead and get into this. So on June 7th of 1992, the Springfield, Missouri Police Department was notified of the disappearance of 3 women from a residence in central Springfield. The parents of Stacy McCall, one of the missing women, and we just talked about who Stacy McCall is.
And so Stacy McCall was the friend.
She was the friend. Of
the daughter.
Of the daughter, okay. Which is Susie Streeter.
Got you.
So the parents of Stacy McCall contacted the police department in reference to their daughter's disappearance from the home of Cheryl Levin and Susan Streeter, the other 2 missing women.
You damn right I called the police. Yeah, where's my daughter?
I mean, my daughter never came home. And again, you guys, it's horrible. So upon officers' arrival, the house bore no signs of a struggle, and this is according to the SpringfieldMissouri.gov or the Springfield, Missouri Police Department.
So they say... let me make sure that I'm following you. So the McCalls, Stacy McCall's parents, they contacted the law enforcement, right?
Correct.
Okay. The law enforcement pulled up to where?
They actually pulled up to...
her friend's home.
To Cheryl Levitt. And Susie Streeter's home.
Got you.
Cheryl
okay.
Levitt, and I'm glad you brought this up because it can be a little bit confusing. Cheryl Levitt is the mother of Susie Streeter. Okay?
Got you.
And Susie Streeter and Stacy McCall are high school friends.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for clearing that up for me. A little slow today, but I just want to make sure.
Because, we gonna get it.
I'm not gonna lie. You actually, I initially I knew nothing in regards to the story. After you gave me the backdrop, I'm intrigued. So let's go on.
And I'll tell you guys. Listen with that. What is it?
Third year.
Thank you.
Open mind.
Thank you. Because they've got a lot of context clues, and hopefully somebody out here can maybe help solve this case. So anyway, so the police shows up to, they show up to Cheryl Levitt's home, mm-hmm. the mother of Susan Streeter. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to hear me say that a couple of times just because I want to make sure you guys aren't confused on who belongs to who, right? So the house had no signs of a struggle, but rather the appearance of the missing women being abducted.
Wow.
Okay.
And why would you say that?
Because all of their personal property was left behind, including their purses,
yeah,
money, clothes. I mean, they didn't pack a suitcase.
Yeah. You ain't going nowhere without no money.
How you gonna go somewhere purse without as a your woman. Car?
So that don't the car was there?
Cars, keys, cigarettes. I mean, who doesn't know a smoker?
they gonna need their cigarettes.
They gonna absolutely need sure. And the dog. If you are a dog lover, I mean, come on. Because wow. I know for damn sure I'm not about to leave my dog at home by himself to just starve and die.
So, Lady A, let's give him the backdrop. Because earlier when we were talking, the girls went to the prom that evening? Was that or what happened?
They actually, okay, so June 7th and most of the time in most high schools, graduation is in June. So, Stacy McCall, again... That is the daughter.
Right.
And Susie Streeter. They had graduated from high school the day before their appearances. They were last seen at approximately 2:15 a.m. on June 7, 2019. So if they were seen the day before, it would have been June 6th, which would have been graduation day. Because 2 a.m.
Right.
Is technically June 7th, yeah, right?
It's absolutely the next day, but I mean, they've been to graduation, they out partying, they having a
they
good time.
They were out partying,
whatnot,
they graduated.
Which makes it even that much more spooky.
An
abduction
what the hell
type
moment.
Of situation.
Exactly. Because that's what the police are thinking, that they were abducted. So, you know, back to the story, Stacy McCall and Susan Streeter, they had graduated from high school on June 6th. Mm-hmm. They went to graduation parties, which most kids do.
Oh, so it wasn't prom, graduation parties.
It was their graduation mm-hmm. party, or other people's on theirs, right. All of them. Yeah. You know, everybody
got a party, everybody going
you know,
to barbecue, and
everybody just
partying
kicking
bullshit
it.
All
right.
Night.
I'm probably
yes.
never even going to see you again, so it's like whatever, you know? And I'm sure most of y'all out there probably feel the same way.
Right.
So... they stopped partying at around 2:15 a.m. and they headed back to Susan Streeter's home. Now, this home is actually located at 1717 East Del Mar, and that is in Springfield, Missouri. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it appeared as though they had arrived at the residence because their clothing, jewelry, purses, and their vehicles were all at the location because Stacy had a car, Susan had a car, and Susan's mother had a car.
So three
so
cars.
So we got
in the
three cars, and we didn't leave in one. Even if I had two broke down cars, I'm still gonna leave in one, okay?
Okay, all right. That third eye, that third ear, was somebody waiting on them?
Somebody
had to be watching them.
It just gives me chills thinking about this because, you know, how many times.
Got caught out there with your
has
car?
Has somebody come home late? And they don't think it. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody sleep. Yeah, no, not everybody, right? And maybe, and you know, DJ, I was thinking, did somebody follow them home from the parties that they were going to?
Absolutely.
You know, alcohol is probably could be involved. Not to say
I
that.
I hope not. 18.
Stacy or Susan were a part of that, but I'm saying other people that could have been at the party. We know that it's just not normal for you to get to your home and then you're just gone.
Right. So they didn't get home till 2:15?
They didn't get home until around... That's when... let me correct that because that is the last time that they were actually seen at a party.
Oh, so they weren't home at 2:15.
So they... But they knew that they had made it home because their purses, their keys, their cars, all of that stuff was at the home. So they knew that they made it there from the last time they were seen at a party to the time that they got to 1717 East Del Mar. They're like, no, they made it here. The police already confirmed that they
without
were actually there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man,
and that's the mystery.
Wow.
You know, and that's, and the mother was already there. So, you know, that's another thing. So Susan's mother, which is Cheryl Levitt, was last heard from at approximately 11:15 p.m. on June 6th, again, graduation day, when she talked with a friend about painting a chest of drawers. So she's on the
a
phone.
A chest of drawers.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking, like, maybe, like,
yeah.
A...
You got it old school. They
old
building
school.
It themselves.
And
they,
you know
yeah.
what? A lot of people do that. You know, they like, hey, I'm not about to be going to buy no new... drawers, a set of drawers for my bedroom. I'll just paint this one up, make it look good, and now I'm happy.
And that was at 11:15.
That was at 11:15.
So she was
on
living
June
at
6th.
11:15, June
we
6th.
We know
she
that
was
she
alive.
Was alive, and we know that she was talking to somebody.
Right. So she, yeah, right.
She was on the phone talking about these doors that she was about to pay.
And between 11:15, they seen the girls was last seen at 2:15.
Correct.
And the police got at the home around
the next day after Stacey McCall's mother called. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into that, y'all, because the plot thickens, mm-hmm. okay?
Let's get after it, team.
So it's really strange. So Cheryl Levitt's car, purse, keys, and everything that a normal person would take with them was left at the residence and appeared as though her bed had been slept in when friends and police arrived to check the residencies. And so, you know, that is the thing that's really weird. Okay, here I am. It's 11:15. I have my last phone call. Most people are going to go to bed. She knows that her daughter and her friend are out. Okay. Stacey McCall, it sounds to me like Stacey McCall is going to spend the night because they're partying, you know. And it's graduation night. Everybody's hanging. They're having big fun. Mom's at home chilling, waiting for the girl to get home. But for whatever reason, she goes to bed. Okay, and this is just the information that the police has said. It looked like she, you know how it looks when you look like you just got up out of bed. Like, yeah, somebody been sleeping sheets in this wrinkled, bed.
Yeah, pillow to the side, yeah, mm-hmm. house shoes right there by the
sleeping,
bed.
Sleeping good,
Got your water by your bed, you know, goddamn it, you got the late show on.
You got the late show on. You could have been watching, I don't know, Murder, She Wrote, things of that nature. So maybe some investigation discovery.
You feel me? Yeah, I'm not liking this lady. Continue,
and
please.
And really, that's where it gets really, really kind of, it goes kind of ghost on us, right? And that's,
it gets
and
weird.
It gets really weird. So, like I said, so, you know, let's get back into it. It's been 25 years and the Springfield Police Department is saying that tips are still trickling in. And, you know, I think that's a little bit odd because after 25 years, sometimes these things just go ghost. I mean, in theory, the case is still cold. But what they're saying is that, hey, we're still getting things. I mean,
they people, haven't been found. So
they haven't been found. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing, right? If
tips are coming in, we got to take all tips seriously.
Seriously.
And thanks for calling in. The thing I hate about tips is you always get some asshole. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Breathing hell. I know what happened. Yeah. Shut up.
You don't know shit.
Get off my line.
You wasting our time. You got the public out here following up on some bullshit and you out here lying. Right. People should go to jail for that.
But thank you.
They really should.
Thank you.
For wasting police time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We all know the police already struggle doing their job anyway. In some cases, they bare minimum.
Thank you.
So, you know, to be out here just diverting because you think that's funny, you should go to jail for that.
Yes, don't do that. Let's go.
Let's fast forward that. So that's 1992. Now we're going up into 25 years later. That would put us in what, DJ, year 2017. Okay. So as of last year, the Springfield police sergeant, whose name is Todd King, said that the tips have leveled off, but they still get them every once in a while. He said they actually get a couple a month. I mean, wow. Like, that is fascinating. That's how you know somebody knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he moves on and he says it's been, you know, 25 years since the Springfield 3 just kind of vanished without a trace. At the time of their disappearance, Susie Streeter was actually 19. Mm. And her friend Stacey McCall was 18. They graduated from Kickapoo High School.
Mm.
And then, of course, like we already said, you guys, that they had been last seen at some graduation parties because they graduated on June 6th.
So they were 19 back in 92?
Susie Streeter was 19.
So
she'd
be roughly
McCall.
What? She'd be 40, 45
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, huh? Oh my God.
What city
like,
was
that's
that?
Crazy. And that's
Kickapoo.
Kickapoo High School.
Who graduated from Kickapoo High School?
Yeah, tell
Do you
us.
Remember?
What was it like back then? Did you graduate in 1992?
And did you know the Streeters and the...
And Stacey McCall.
Yeah.
You know, let us know because, I mean, really...
Someone knows something. Someone... That's one thing that you bet your bottom dollar. Someone knows something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, Lady A, either they rode home with the bad guys, someone followed them there, or someone was waiting on them. I'm surprised you didn't tell them about the sighting. Tell them about the signing. Yeah.
So, okay. So let's just kind of backtrack a little bit, because this is where it really gets kind of weird. So when a friend,
That same actually, night though, right, Lady A?
This would have been June 7th. And keep in mind, they say that the kids, the girls, the teenager graduates, right? I want to be very clear on that. They did graduate.
Yeah, but they're teenagers. They're graduates.
Exactly.
But they graduated from high school. They graduated high school. Ain't no damn
they're
graduates.
They're just babies. Come on. Shit. They're just babies. Right, you're just getting started. This is their first landmark
not to take
of graduation.
About, not to take nothing away from graduating
from
high school.
I can almost guarantee you some of their friends didn't make it. They didn't make it, okay? And they didn't have near about the criteria that they have for you now.
But I digress.
But we digress. So a friend called the home around 8 a.m. on June 7th, but there was no answer. So over the course of the day, friends and family members made the rounds and they made calls. So they're calling and coming by and nobody's answering. Nobody's answering the door. Nobody's answering the phone. And
so we had to kick the damn door in. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing about it is, it's really, I mean, again, I mean, as a friend or family member, I'd be like totally freaked out about that, especially when you know that this
Where's
will be
my
a
kid,
day,
man?
That
Shit.
This will be something, and it's your kid. Oh my God, we're not even getting into that, right? So so these friends and family members actually went and started checking out places that they thought the women might have gone. So assumptions that the three women would return any minute. I mean, who doesn't think that, right? Any minute now, they're going to come run up the driveway and we're going to be like, where have you been?
Right. God damn it. So you have me scared.
You have
to
me
death,
scared
yeah.
like a mother. I mean, think about it, child. How many times have you been like, where the hell have you been? You had me freaked out. I was just across the town
yeah,
at the grocery store.
But you know what? This time they didn't come home.
This time they didn't. And any minute now, quote unquote, gradually turned into weight of worry. Like, oh, shit.
And I hate that. Mm.
Okay, my heart's out my chest now. I'm about to have a heart attack.
I got my pistol with me.
I got
and I'm
my
going
gun,
looking for
and I'm
him
looking
right now.
For
shit.
Everybody.
I'm sorry. Mm.
So then on the evening of June 7th, that is when Stacy McCall's mother made that judgment call and said, damn this, I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, again, when the police get there, the scene is very concerning. And this actually comes directly from them. By way of newsleader.com, they say the scene was very concerning.
I'm going to tell you this, Lady A, and you, this is probably the first and last time you're going to hear that. Kudos to the police.
Kudos to the police.
Normally,
department.
You call them, oh, well,
oh,
she's in the dark.
God.
Well, maybe
well,
she don't want to be found.
If they want to go missing.
Blah, blah.
They are
so shout out
19.
To the police department for doing what they do.
And I'll tell you, I will also have to say is shout out to the community. The people who thought yeah. enough of these girls and this woman. I mean, obviously, I mean, DJ, correct me if I'm wrong.
You ain't wrong.
I would have to think that for these group of people to say, okay, we're going to hang around until they show up. We know any minute now they're going to show up. This was a loved mother, loved two daughters, you know, people were concerned. Like, I don't know how big the population of Springfield is. We'll have to get back to you guys on that. Maybe we can hit up Siri on that one.
We absolutely
will. But people knew them. It sounds like to me, people knew them. And with Stacy McCall and with the graduation and just all of these different things happening over the course of 24 hours, for more than one person, like, I felt like if Stacy McCall's mom was like the only one, you know what I'm saying? To call it, be like, well, they could have went out of town. They could have, it would have been a million and one excuses. So kudos to the people who called.
I don't know. Yeah, right. But just, yeah, continue.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly because, you know, we're going to give you the truth. If the police aren't doing their damn job, we're going to tell you about
Which
it.
Which normally they don't. Which normally they don't. We can go
so
back to
when
several.
They do. Man, we got to give them a shout out. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the Springfield, Missouri Police Department for being on their job back in 1992.
Oh, yeah,
let's
that's
be clear
problem.
About that.
Yeah, it's not 1992 no more, goddammit. It's 2018, and we don't know what happened. She
not
has
so
a right
now.
To be missing. She
not
doesn't
so
want
to
be found.
She doesn't
She's
be
a
found.
Runaway.
What do you mean?
It's graduation night.
Do you know what I go through every night?
Has she been gone for the full 24 hours? Well, she's going a full 24. Call me back in about 6 hours.
And then you call them back and it's still some bullshit.
But anyway.
So when the police got there, they said that the scene was very concerning. Each of the women had a car and all three were parked outside the unlocked house, you guys. Again, DJ, third ear, unlocked house.
Yeah, they done ran out or something. Did they know that they're abductors? The mom must have knew somebody, too. It seemed like what they came home, they must have got the mama. I'm thinking the girls came home from partying. Mm-hmm. The mom might have got up, you know, hee-hee-ha-ha with the girls. What happened from there, Lady A?
Right, that is the mystery.
Damn it. Left the door open and everything?
I mean, why is your... Okay, it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning.
My keys are here, my car's here.
Thank you. And my thing is, okay, to play devil's advocate to this, we know there's some communities like, we're so nice and everybody's so nice, we keep our doors
unlocked.
Yeah,
somebody ain't nice. And I'm going to tell you, if I left my keys and my wallet and all that shit, somebody done came in with a gun in my face and said, nigga, now...
Exactly.
Sorry. That's the first thing that popped into my head.
So, and hey, we're all about the truth and we're all about honesty. And the fact of the matter is that I'm
that's
not
going
to just
gonna
run
leave
out
like
of
that.
My house.
Mom, sleep. Mom, sleep.
And all three of them. It wasn't like they found mom dead and now the two girls are missing, or they found two girls dead and now the mom's missing. It was nothing like that. All three of them are all missing consecutively. At the same time, for lack of a better word. Okay? So now we fast forward that. Their purses were at the top of the stairs.
Whoa.
Not sure why. Okay, ladies?
I do.
This is a question.
357 in your face.
When you got a purse.
Drop your purse where it is. Come on. Yeah, I bet you do.
And you'll do it with no questions asked.
Mm-mm.
Okay? When you got a purse... You don't normally just drop it at the top of the stairs. I mean, you know, especially, and even if, let's hypothetically go with this, right? Let's say that Cheryl and Susie did do that. I don't really think that Stacy's gonna do that.
Nah, something terrible happened that night, Lady A. Something terrible happened.
It's just terrible. So, Cheryl, the mother, you know, and Streeter, the daughter, were both smokers. Not that far-fetched, right? The daughter and the mother are both smokers.
I'm so sorry, Lady. They're
now,
the
I'm not condoning.
Whenever you say smokers, clarify what they were smoking, please.
Cigarettes.
Okay.
This is not
the
a marijuana.
Cigarette smokers.
This is not a crack.
Yeah.
This is not a heroin right. situation. This is nicotine.
Okay.
Only.
Let's go.
For those who want to be clear on that.
I'm just saying, because you're not...
And I'm glad you brought that up, because some people, well, you know they're smoking crack. Misinformation, and don't put that out there, because
yeah,
that's not
ever
right.
Ever say that.
They were nicotine cigarette smokers.
And they're missing.
And they're missing, okay? So let's be clear about that. They're not. These are not junky people, all right? So they were both smokers, but yet their cigarettes had been left behind. Stacy had left without her migraine medication. Okay, now Stacy McCall, the friend, she leaves without her migraine medication. That's not normal. There was no signs of a struggle. The only thing amiss was a porch light cover that had been busted. Friends of the women, however, had cleaned up the broken glass long before the cops were called, thinking, quote unquote, this was going to be helpful.
Okay.
And we got to give a hard stop. Okay, educational moment, DJ. Educational moment.
Was it a light busted out?
Outside of their home.
A porch light busted out?
Porch light. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be helpful. I'm going to clean this up. Negative.
So the same people in the community that you just thanked, we need to point the finger at and really look at. I'm sorry, it's like that. If a wife comes up dead, they're going to look at the husband first. And this point, it's not your home to clean anything else up. Nothing up.
And if you're worried about the women and they have a porch light that is broken and there's glass everywhere, what in the world would make you think you're being helpful by cleaning it up?
I would grab the person that cleaned that up and I would interrogate them for about 3 days. I need to know, why would you do that? And how much did you know about the
family?
Can
we do the Chinese torches? Does that work?
And at the end of the day, you know, again, I'm thinking that third ear, that third eye or whatnot. That's foul play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they normally have the light on in front of their house. They busted the light out. So my thing is, we'll never know. Was it busted out when they pulled up? Or did they bust it out on the way out?
And we'll never know if there was any DNA that could have possibly cracked this
That's
case.
That's the biggest freaking thing.
It's horrible. You getting out here and you're thinking, I don't
and
know.
And it does happen.
How were they thinking in 1992? Because I'm not sure how they were thinking in 1992.
And to play devil's advocate, sometimes you can help and fuck up at the same time. I'm sorry.
When helping goes wrong. Helping, hashtag when helping goes
that
wrong.
That DNA that was in there.
Oh my God.
Or maybe it was your DNA, neighbor.
Maybe it was your DNA. And you went to hurry up and cleaned up and then try to play the role. You know that they say that, what's the saying? That statistically, 85% of people that are murdered or
by
killed
they know.
Is by somebody that they know. Whoever cleaned that up, you may want to clear your name, okay? Just saying. Mm-hmm. And that includes seven of y'all, then that includes seven of y'all. Because I don't know how you get three grown-ass women out of a house with no blood, no nothing, no this, no that, unless it was strategically planned. And why you, graduation night?
Graduation night, that's why I'm thinking, because someone followed them, someone knew them or whatnot. They dressed up, the little girls, they 18 years old, got on their little suits, and they got on their little, not suits,
the little dresses.
Yeah, little dresses.
And,
just the
third. What was they dressing like in 1992?
The same way they dressing now, shit. I mean, no, that don't, I'm so sorry, but that don't change or whatnot. The only thing I can see is they busted out the front port light. Maybe someone was inside. Maybe they was outside. But I keep seeing a big-ass gun in somebody's face. That's the only way that you're going to leave your car keys, your purse, mom that got up out of bed, everything. We haven't talked about... Would you get into the siding? Weren't they spotted at a...
Yeah. We're getting there, y'all. There's so much. It's really...
I'm sorry.
It's so
and I
weird.
Do not mean to jump ahead of the game.
It's just so weird. It really is.
Someone knows something about this, though.
So when these women first went missing, again, Cheryl Levitt, Susie Streeter, Stacey McCall, it was highly publicized. It was a very highly publicized case. I mean, women, three especially, who all know each other, don't just, and all in the same house, for God's sake, don't just up and disappear. And the poor dog, bless his heart, I mean, okay? I mean, for all the dog lovers
out
there.
I love dogs too, April, but where are the Streeters, the Levitts and the McCalls, okay?
Right. So, you know, then at that point, the FBI was called in. And you know what? Kudos once again to the Springfield Police Department. You have to know and understand and recognize, and this is for anybody who is on the police force, maybe homicide, who knows good and damn well that the case that you are on right now is not... it's overwhelming for you. You have to know when to call the FBI in. So search parties were organized within a week. The faces of the Springfield Three missing women were broadcast on, again, our favorite show, America's Most Wanted.
Shout out to John Walsh.
And I'll tell you, I love that show. Okay? And just hate the fact that it is not... on anymore, but they solved a lot of cases. They put a lot of cases out there. So a case that everyone expected to be solved quickly, however, turned into the city's most well-known cold case. And according to Sergeant King, it's always been open. He said in a recent interview last month, it's an active investigation. The Springfield Police Department has turned over. There are no sworn officers left that were on the force back in 1992.
Damn.
Sad.
It's over.
It is.
I hate to say
I don't want to say it's over because we have seen cases.
Oh, no, it's not over because we're like on the job. And we're going to get results.
Exactly. And sometimes you do need, DJ, a fresh set of eyes. You do. You need somebody.
Not only that. They're off the force. They didn't say that they're dead. They're still living.
Yeah.
Now they might want
to
talk.
You can always go back to them.
More than ever.
You can always go back to them. And somebody, and here's a little kicker, you guys, I didn't know. Just because these homicide detectives retire, some of them actually take their own information home with them. They actually take it home. I've seen it numerous times.
Well,
where
if you're retired, you shouldn't have any cases at your
some
home.
Some of them are very near and dear, and some of them work it independently.
Let me find out you still got my case in your house and you goddamn retired. No.
But some of them work it independently.
Oh, you mean,
you know,
yeah.
They'll say, I refuse. I promised the mom 30 years ago.
Yeah, they still coming
in. You know, right. And at this point, it's just a mind over matter or the principle behind the whole thing. I'm going to catch the fucker who did this shit, you know, or whatever. So that's also an option. So over the years, the case of the Springfield 3 or the 3MW has been assigned to numerous investigators. Whenever one has retired or been promoted, the case has been handed off to someone new, again, with the fresh eyes. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many people this has gone through, but it seems to me like it's gone through a lot of new people, you know, where you got to start over and do all this stuff all over again. So for the last year and a half, the eyes have been those of Detective Scott Hill King as with King as his direct supervisor. And he helps him respond to the tips that are coming in. Mm-hmm. So there have been thousands over the years, although fewer as time goes on. The majority that come in these days are identical or similar to previous ones. That's not to say they are unwelcome. So we don't, you know, they're not saying that at all. After 25 years, the department's plea hasn't changed. They still want the tips to keep coming. So, you know, they wish that they would come forward, and even regardless of what you know, what you don't know, then, you know, they still want you to just, you know, be forthcoming with this. And this is the reason why we're putting out, this information, and we want you guys to know what's going on. So DJ, let's kind of, you know, fast forward that and kind of talk through this timeline.
Yes, because that's the thing. This is just astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is what we know of the case. And you guys, I really want you to listen to this because this is what we know. So, of course, in 1992, Susie Streeter and Stacy McCall graduated from Kickapoo High School, later attending two graduation parties together. Kickapoo High School. The pair wind up at Streeter's house, which is located again at 1717 East Del Mar Street. And this was around 2 or 2:15 a.m. on June 7th. So on June 7th, a friend calls the house at 8 or 9 a.m. and gets no answer. She stops by a little after 12, but there's no sign of the girls or Susie's mother, Cheryl Levitt. Police are later called that evening. On June 8th, police begin investigating the case. The unlocked house, weird, appears as if the women simply vanished while getting ready for bed.
Abducted.
Right. On June 9th, the FBI is called in.
Yes.
June 14th, authorities begin a sweep of wooded areas and streams in the Springfield area and search an apartment building after a letter containing a rough drawing of the apartment complex and the phrase, quote, use roofs of gas man checking for leak, end quote, is found in a news leader rack at a grocery store.
I'm sorry, Letter A. What the hell does that mean?
Oh, my God. What does that even mean?
Again, the sick bastard.
Yes.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
Get off my line with that bullshit. Matter of fact, you know what? Just like you said, Lady A, yeah, now you're facing 12 months in jail. Just for that.
Mm-hmm.
What? Use roofs of gas man checking for leak. Yep, your ass need to do 12.
Is roofs like their gas company or something? Oh, Lord, I don't know. Mm. So also on this day, pictures of the women air on the television show America's Most Wanted. So on June 15th, police began working a fresh tip about a transient who neighbors reported seeing near the home in the days before the women disappeared. A sketch is released showing a man with long hair and a full beard.
Okay. A sketch showing a man with what?
Long hair and a full beard. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What city is that? Kickapoo?
Again, this is Springfield. Kickapoo
is the high school.
Is the name of the high
Springfield,
school.
Springfield, Missouri.
Correct.
And what's
a strange
address?
Man walking. Mm-hmm. 1717 East Del Mar.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Strange man, long hair, full beard. Mm-hmm.
And so then on June 16th, police released a photo of the retouched Dodge van, similar to the one seen near Levin and Streeter's home early on June 7th.
That's huge. Okay, so we working though. At least they working.
So they getting some tips in. The tips are seeming promising.
Mm-hmm.
On June 24th, police work on a new tip. A waitress at George's Steakhouse, one of Levitt's favorite restaurants.
This is what I was talking about.
Yeah. Says she saw the three women at the diner between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. on June 7th. The women arrived together and they left together. The waitress says Susie appeared giddy, perhaps intoxicated, and her mother tried to calm her down. Now, we did mention the alcohol part.
Yes, we did.
And
do we believe the waiter's memory?
I know. It's so hard. I'm so...
I want to believe it. DJ, I want to believe
I'm
it.
I'm so torn on this one.
Because I can see that happening. The mom was on the phone at 11 o'clock. The girls were last seen at 2. They come home around 2. The mom gets up. They still giddy. The mom say, hey, let's go to my favorite spot. Get some food or whatnot.
But why between 1 and 3 when we know for a fact that Stacy and Susie were last seen at a party
at
2:15?
They're going to give you a time frame. We don't know exactly what time it was. They're not the only customers in there.
Right.
But you're right, though.
May have known because the mom is known to free. But here's my thing.
Why one?
When does that waitress work? I mean, does the mom always come up in here at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning?
And I think what you said before is great. Why 1 to 3? We can't get a 3.
We can't pin down a number. And again, in 1992, I'll tell you.
But again.
Surveillance was probably not around.
But right.
That would have been the key here. You say that you've seen them there, but how do you really know that it was them?
I about really want to believe that. Because if they were seen around 2 or 3, maybe that's where they were last seen at. They just didn't say that they were with the mom, too. It's so many speculations.
It is very... And the thing about it is, I mean, like you say, DJ, I don't want to discredit this woman. She said she knows the mother.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, how do you know the mother? Do you work?
I know her from coming in here. That was her spot.
But here it is, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you work every shift here?
I know.
Or do you only work
Lady
the 2 o'clock shift?
I know you. If I bump into you at the Waffle House at 2 a.m., I see Lady A. I'm sorry you done got in trouble, but yeah, no, that was her. I know her. So.
And let it be known, we don't lie for nobody. If we saw you, we saw you. Okay?
No, Jimmy, except for Jesus. I'll lie for Jesus.
We lie for Jesus.
That's blasphemy.
And it ain't even necessary to lie for Jesus, because he's just going to tell you the truth.
So
anyway.
Let's go.
So, again, you know, back, you know, to our story, it's just weird. Okay, so that is something that, to me, as a police officer, a homicide detective, that is the clue.
That's the clue.
Because she sounded like she was really kind of definite on that.
And I need you to come down to the States, man. I'm going to hold you down there for about 9 hours. I need you to write a statement. I'm sorry, y'all. You know they do us like that and shit.
They're going to ask you the same question 17 different ways.
Right. And don't say you got to go pick up your baby, because they're going to get your baby and have them delivered to you.
Say you were at the Waffle House working. Now, what time was that? You were working at the Waffle House is when? And then it's going to be 17 more different ways that they're going to ask you that question.
And then they're going to hit you with you know you done fucked up, right?
You know you done fucked up.
You know you done fucked up, right?
You know good and goddamn well you just see the women.
All right, okay, let's bring it back in.
Okay. So that, at the Georgia Steakhouse, that was actually on June 24th. On June 28th, police in their 24-hour command post at Levitt's home. So they serious with this. They got 24-hour surveillance at the home, okay? And this is about 3 weeks following their disappearance. So, again, kudos to the FBI. Kudos to the police department for taking this very seriously. Nobody ever shows up.
They took it very seriously, Lady A. I'm in my feelings right now. I'm very jealous. I gotta say, damn it. And I so hate to do this race thing, but I think if it was a black, they wouldn't have been working that hard.
Didn't do that.
And I didn't even want to tell y'all what color the Springfield 3 was, but just the police... We know what color they was. Damn it, I wish they could do us like that.
Exactly. We do, and it's terrible. And very true, though. I mean, that's just a realization, right? I mean, that's just the truth.
Can't bite my tongue, man.
So we're all about the truth here. And the truth is the truth. So let's fast forward that, you guys. 1993, January 2nd. So we got about a 6-month window here. Okay. From June into January. An anonymous New Year's Eve caller to a switchboard operator of America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted was all over this.
Oh, I love... Don't even get me started. I mean, you know that's my shit right there. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the switchboard operator is actually cut off... Or the caller, I'm sorry, you guys, is cut off when the operator tries to link up with the Springfield investigators. Police still seek contact with the man whom they consider to have prime knowledge of the abductions. That was on January 2nd of 1993.
So they lost, what? The phone, the call dropped?
So somebody called in to America's Most Wanted, a man, and when he went to go get switched over to the Springfield investigators, for some kind of way, I don't even know, but some kind of way he was disconnected or cut off.
Yeah, I bet. Again, that's that fuckery. There we go.
And you know, and I'll tell you one of the things that's really frustrating about this whole situation is because most of the time, people who are going to confess or just tell you what it is, you only got that one shot.
That's with just them. So tacky,
you only got that one shot with them. That if they got the guts at that moment to come and to make that phone call, that's it. You start transferring them and then we cut off, so and I got the call though. Back, and they're not gonna do all of that.
That's not professional at all.
No,
soon, especially being America's Most Wanted or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry because that's our show.
Mm-hmm.
You, as soon as you get on the line, okay, in case something happens, let me get your callback number, your contact.
That's
number.
Right.
That's the first thing they do.
That's right.
Y'all call banks. Y'all call customer service people.
That's right. And what do
when
they
you're
say?
Really about that action, that's what you do.
And what do they say? In case we get disconnected from this call, what's a good contact number I can give you? Boom, you give it to them, you say your name. The first thing they ask you, oh, can I get your name, please? First and last. They want anything about you before they even get into a conversation with you. And that's what didn't happen here. So again, DJ, another great opportunity in this case that was missed.
Yeah, opportunity squandered.
Terribly. Whew. So, okay, so then we talk, well, let's move on to Valentine's Day, sadly, February 14th. For the first time, police announced that they are considering the possibility that the disappearances are the work of one or more serial killers.
What? Oh, you didn't tell me this, Lenny. What did you say? And the plot thickens.
And the plot thickens.
A serial killer? Who?
Yeah,
which one?
And again, now... Okay,
there was a serial killer in Springfield, Missouri at that time?
We're going to have to investigate that.
That's going to be another show. Oh, is this going to be a series? Are we going to have to do a part 2?
I think we're going to do a series
of the
on
Springfield 3?
We're going to absolutely have to do a series on that because we got to see what was going on in Springfield, Missouri, or in Missouri, period, between 1991 and 1992. Are we doing the police officers' jobs?
Yeah.
I think we are.
We the LAPD.
We the LA. No, and in this case, we the Springfield PD.
No, go ahead.
So, and then there's a big... again, a gap in time, a gap in the timeline. So from February 14th to August 28th, information from an informant leads police to search farmland in Webster County. Hit us up if you know where that is, looking for bodies. Police say they find items at the scene, but not elaborate. The results of the search warrant were sealed.
Okay, I'm going to take back all of my kudos. I'm going to take back all of my well wishes and my pats on the back for the police department. Because when you said the, I started thinking.
They had me. Yeah. They had me all the way up until the damn end.
They had me up until.
Records were sealed.
They not really want to talk about stuff. And I started thinking funny when you said something in something that they did on, was it the February the 14th or considered? I don't know. But yeah, the cops ain't solid like that. Again, mm-hmm. Was it someone in the police department? Because again, if you start thinking like that, who else can pull off a crime like this?
Mm-hmm.
Sealed? Why the fuck would you seal the... come on, man. You know how hard it is to really seal some shit?
And you gotta... and correct me, DJ, if I'm wrong. Don't you have to go through the judge and the court to
steal
records?
That's what I'm saying. Don't
Why
let me throw a judge under the bus
you
with
know,
the judge in on it too.
You yeah, know good it. And damn well that these kid, that these that this mother and these daughters is missing.
And not only that, why would you seal a record of an ongoing open investigation?
Thank you. Why are you still in a search warrant? A search warrant is supposed to be public information, right?
We need to know what's going on if you're really trying to find these people.
Thank you. Are you really, really, truly trying to
find them? Wow, Lady A, it's three ladies,
you know,
not
my
man.
Motto, you know my motto. What is my motto? Every crime is solvable. It really is. And the thing about it is, it's just about how much work you put into it. I think that this crime is solvable.
I'm with you on that. I mean, it's solvable up to a point.
Up to a point.
If the cops did it, you're not going to. The cops not going to tell them themselves.
And they probably know, but they're not going
to
tell
you. Absolutely. My thing is, I don't understand how they would seal the information in regards to an open case.
Yeah.
They're not really checking on it.
Not to mention it came from an informant, and most of the time, police rely on informants.
This must be a small town.
So, cautionary tale to any informants that's listening to this podcast, you may want to rethink the information you give in the police department. Just saying. They ain't going to do nothing but sell it any damn way, especially if you live in Springfield, Missouri. Apparently. I don't know. I just know in this particular situation, they said an informant led them to this situation for bodies.
To me, that was it.
Yeah.
And you know why they sealed the record? Because they probably found evidence that it was them. But they didn't find the body.
Right.
And they didn't want people like you and I
freaking out and being like, oh, God.
Being on their ass and making
them work. Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, once they start giving out a lot more information, then more people in the community are like, oh, hell no.
Why? We're going to have to get a specialist on here. What are some reasons why you would seal the case? Oh, we know, Lady A, to hide something.
Yeah, but I agree, DJ. I think we should absolutely get a professional on here to see what would be some of the detrimental reasons why legally a judge would grant a case to be sealed. So let's fast forward that, and we're going to get into a new year. So now we're going from 1993 to 1994. A lead prompts authorities to search a section of Bull Shoals Lake where they find animal remains and pieces of clothing. The clothing does not match the description of what the women were wearing.
Okay, dead mission, dummy
mission. Dead mission, okay, mm-hmm. But they did go out and search it.
We already know. They didn't seal anything. We already know. When did they seal the evidence?
They sealed the evidence for the one home, the farmland, in August of 1993.
Okay, that's when they solved the case. I'm telling you, August of 93, somebody did some fugazi shit, yeah, man. And all this other shit, it might maybe a witch hunt.
Yeah, because I really do believe this case is solvable. And if nothing else, it needs to come to the public eye.
Because everything else here is just, it's weak.
Right.
What happens next?
So nothing else happens in 1994. It kind of goes dead. In 1995, a grand jury disbands. In January, without handing up indictments, mm-hmm. Robert Craig Cox, whose name came up early in the investigation, never told us that, is arrested in Texas for aggravated robbery. After information on Cox is presented to a grand jury, investigators interview him in a Texas prison. In the grand jury, Cox's ex-girlfriend tells jurors that she lied when she told police Cox was with her at church on the morning of June 7th, 1992.
Boom! That's it!
There you go.
Okay, so what happened with that? Nothing.
Well, we kind of know what happened. They went to the grand jury, and for whatever reason, they disbanded. I'm not sure what the hell that even means, but there was no indictment on him.
So they disbanded. Right, but again, that goes back with the sealing of the fucking record.
Yeah.
So it's been...
I'm feeling like it's connected.
It has to be. Mm-hmm. It has to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like it's connected. I'm feeling like we're getting close to the truth. But every time we get close to the truth, they give us 50 feet.
The cops sealed the record. And then the grand jury disbands the info.
Right.
Come on, man.
Right.
They're in cahoots. They were probably, they're working together.
Because, you know, and you guys, we want you to be clear on that. A grand jury is just a group of people like me and you that get selected. Like, they're not special people. They're not like, you know, they're whoever, right, DJ? I mean, these are not special people. We're going to have to research that because my understanding is that they're not like special people. you still get picked for jury duty. Sometimes you may go for a grand jury to see if they got enough information to prosecute this guy or bring charges, formal charges up on this person. And then sometimes you go to it where they've already brought the charges up and now you need to weigh whether this person should go to jail or not. So, but either way, you're still a normal person, living a day-to-day citizen, you know, household. So I just wanted you guys to be clear on that. And then for whatever reason, in this particular case, they never even said whether he was guilty or not guilty. They just said there was nothing handed down, and that's really weird. Okay, so fast forwarding that, so now we're in 1996, and that was really the only thing in 1995. Former news leader, reporter Robert Keyes interviews Cox from prison. Again, the guy we just talked about. The inmate tells Keyes he knows the women were killed and buried somewhere in Springfield or close by. And quote, and they'll never be found.
He wasn't lying about that. And 20 years later, shit.
Now, DJ, I have to ask you, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think this guy's lying? We know that there's been prisoners that have lied for fame. They don't know nothing better than goddamn dude. It's in the prison for the rest of their lives.
First thing that came to my mind was, and they'll never be found. Have we found them?
Nope.
That's it. I really do. I feel it. The police have something to do with it. The judge, the jury, they selling records and they dismissing good evidence.
Oh.
But that's typical of them motherfuckers.
That's sickening. That's sickening. So, you know, again, once they do this interview, they have nothing. We fast forward to 1997. The family of Cheryl Levin and Susie Streeter go through court proceedings to declare the two women dead, sadly. That is heartbreaking for me. Because what?
Oh, they didn't find them.
Because, you know, after a certain number of years, you can legally declare this person dead. And I mean, think about it. There's no bank activity. There's no nothing. I mean, it's like they vanish off the face of the fucking earth. And we know that's not what happened.
Damn.
In the Florida Evans way of good times for James Evans, for anyone who's not familiar with that. So, you know, the family of Cheryl Levin and Susie Streeter go through the court proceedings to declare the two women dead. Stacy's parents vowed that they will not declare their daughter dead until her body is found. And so that is one of their own personal things that they have vowed to their daughter, that they will not declare her dead until she's actually proven to be dead. And so I think that is very commendable of Stacy's parents to say, no, we're not going to start this fight. Because really, in theory, if you declare somebody dead, then you're no longer looking for them. You've already acknowledged and gone through your grieving process and all of that. So in 2001, Major Steve James, or this is like Lee James, takes command of the criminal investigation section and reopens several cold cases, including that of the three missing women. And again, you know,
they reopened the case.
They reopened it. And I have to say, shout out to Stacey. I have to say, shout out to Stacey McCall's parents.
Yeah, I wanted to say that too.
Because I'm not declaring my child dead. Because
never.
That when you declare somebody dead, that's
it's
so
over.
Final. It's DJ, am I lying? It's such a final thing.
Mm-mm.
I'm no longer looking. I no longer want justice. I just want this thing to be over.
Right. Until she come back, we eternally looking
for her. That's right. And I'll tell you, you know, it's real. The search is real. Okay, so in 2002, Springfield police write Cox a letter requesting an interview. And again, you guys, Cox is the guy that they thought originally he's been arrested. He's in serving time in a Texas prison, and they think that he's the one that actually kidnapped and murdered the Springfield three women. So in 2002, they write a letter requesting an interview, but he declines it. Okay. Also this year, Webster County authorities dig near an abandoned slaughterhouse south of Marshfield. They find teeth and bone fragments Estimated to be about 100 years old. So again, I mean, somebody died, but it wasn't the Springfield Three. Fast forward that 2003. Following new tips, the investigators check an old farm about 5 miles south of Cassville.
Cadaver.
Yeah, thank you. The Cavalier seeking dogs show interest in various areas.
Did I say Cavalier Cadaver?
Oh, good Lord.
I'm sorry. I'm still thinking, why the hell did they seal those records? And why did the judge
Yeah. So that's why we say Cavalier instead of cadaver dogs. But y'all know what we mean, okay? So... we're working progress.
The reason why I say it like that is because I can't see it. Hell, I need glasses. What's your excuse?
No, I have no excuses. Have glasses, and I guess I just can't pronunciate right.
Let's go.
So, tires, trash, and a motorcycle and sections of a green vehicle are dug up from the surrounding farmland. DNA samples are taken from the abandoned house on the property and are sent to the lab for testing, but no matches found. I mean...
And that's, okay, so listen, no, that's real shit, okay? So they found evidence, they sent it to the lab, but no match was found.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't seal the evidence, they didn't seal the case, they didn't seal the shit,
did they? Why did they seal the case?
I'm telling you, they solved the case then.
I swear you're right, I swear. I'm feeling some kind of way. So a group, okay, so again, and this was, that happened in 2003. So again, 3 years goes by. And here we are in 2006. A group of amateur detectives go to Springfield Police and Greene County Prosecutor Daryl Moore with their theory that the three Springfield Three women are buried under a parking garage near Cox South Hospital. Authorities decide not to dig under the garage, saying there isn't enough evidence to warrant the cost of digging. Okay, so... All right, I'm looking at this from two ways. And DJ, stop me if I'm wrong. I'm looking at this from two ways now. I am the owner of that parking garage. Do I want you just digging up some shit?
Nope.
That may or may not even be just because a motherfucker said it was there?
No.
Hell no, I don't want you to do that. But then I'm on the other side of this. Well, wait a minute. That's another lead. We have to at least, because if you think about it, from 1992 to 2006, a lot of things have been done with this land. Who's to say that they aren't underneath there? We've seen it where hospital parking garages have produced bodies. So it's not like it's a far-fetched idea. How would you go on this?
I feel like it comes down to the credibility of the witness. How credible is the witness?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, has he lied before? I mean, is he an upstanding citizen? How many witch hunts have we been led on in the case? I mean, it's a lot of factors that come into mind. At this point in the game, damn it, I probably wouldn't. I mean, I really have to have definitive evidence that is under there. What my biggest thing is, y'all, and y'all know what I'm finna say. Why did they steal the evidence? That's where I'm going after.
Yeah. It goes back to that. I mean, in theory, it really does.
I need everything and bust it open. I need everything on the table and shit.
And we need to know.
Bottom line, and we're just going to break it down.
The public needs to know.
So.
And I get when the police say, you know, well, some information we're not relaying and some of this and that. But at this point, I mean, it's been 20 years. We need to stop. Okay? We need to just let this go.
We need to find the Springfield Three, y'all.
Bottom line. So now we fast forward. Okay, and that happened in 2006. So now we're in 2010. Oh, my God, right?
What happened in 2010?
Paul Williams, Springfield's new police chief, because keep in mind, they said that they were, I mean, as the years progressed, people retired, they da-da-da-da-da-da. They got a whole bunch of different things going on. So... Paul Williams, who's the new police chief of Springfield, Missouri, he initiates a review of the case, which extends into 2012. Okay, and so in 2012, the Springfield police investigators travel to Virginia and present their review of the case to a panel of 25 criminal justice investigators assembled by the National Center for the Missing and Exploited Children. And I'll tell you, once again, okay, we were not kudos or whatever. Bringing it back around, I think that that was a great idea. I think that sometimes, you know, when you're in the police department, it's so easy to pass off the case, but you're thinking about other cases and you can ask somebody about your case, but they think about their own case. Right. Bring it to somebody where literally they're literally looking for missing people. That is their job. Homicide detectives have multiple jobs. They're looking for missing people. They're looking for murdered people who have murdered people. They have a multitude of responsibilities, and so sometimes it's not that easy to just go to them, right, DJ? I mean,
right.
How are you feeling about them just saying, "Listen, I'm gonna take this to Virginia to the missing and exploited children"?
I mean, I feel like, I mean, hey, we exhaust every avenue. I mean, it's worth a shot. What happened in 2012?
Well, that's what happened in 2012.
Right, okay.
So,
oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's wow. That's pretty much where it stopped.
And we in 2017 now?
And we're in 2017. Oh, that is where it is
there's
now.
There's definitely going to be a part two to this series.
So you guys tune in to part two. We're definitely going to be giving you some more information on this. And we just, man, if you know anything,
don't hesitate.
You already know our saying. Don't hesitate.
Call 911
or
the Springfield
Police Department. Springfield, Missouri. Okay? Three beautiful women are gone and they shouldn't be. And we really need to get some closure to their families.
We're going to get closure. And we're going to stay on top of the case of the Springfield 3.
And until next time, you guys, God bless, God keep. We'll see you on the other side.